this is Michael Bozy. Welcome to Marketing Without the Marketing. Really glad that you're here. Now, if you're a regular listener, you know that I don't do a lot of interviews, but I do like to have folks on who know more than me about a specific topic, and that's certainly the case today. I'm really excited to have Chris Well on the show today. Chris runs his own business as a consultant to authors. He's an author himself. And today's topic that we're going to dive into is publicity. What it is, when it's a good idea, how to get it, and especially how to do it in a DIY fashion. This is critical for small businesses who don't want to pay an arm and a leg for it. Now, Chris is just about to publish a new book on the topic called 7 Ways to Get Media Coverage Without Hiring a Marketing Team. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Great. Well, let's jump right in. You know, this podcast is about content strategy, you know, all your content working together towards your business goals, and it looks different for every business. Now, I don't spend a lot of time talking about publicity, which is why I thought it'd be good to bring you on the show. So can you give sort of a quick introduction to publicity, you know, the content you create for it, and how it might be one facet of an overall content strategy?
Well, if we look at it from kind of a high level, content marketing is what you say to the world. Media coverage or press coverage is what the world says about you. And so your publicity materials are that bridge between the two. This is you creating a message to help others talk about you. So you have materials, publicity materials, created to be read or heard or watched by someone else's audience. So you're creating them for influencers who have an audience. They've created an audience. They've built up trust with that audience. And so this is you using these materials to get to that audience.
Ah, cool. All right, good. Now, I know that in your business, which is called DIY Author, you work with a lot of authors. And in today's world, really, and I talk about this part a lot, I mean, they're really running their own businesses. But think of, you know, there's a bunch of my listeners who are not authors or who are not using a book as a part of their content strategy. So why and when is publicity good for small business owners? What can it do for a small business?
The thing about publicity is that this is an opportunity to build your authority or prove your expertise and also build social proof. So it's one thing to say in your own space, I know this or I do this. It's completely different if that influencer is endorsing you. And even if they aren't expressly endorsing you, if you are associated with them, if the audience sees you together, if that person is interviewing you, if that person is talking about you or reviewing you or whatever that is, that becomes social proof. That carries a lot more weight than if it was you talking or if it was, say, an advertisement.
Yeah, that's great. I totally agree with that. Now, you know, from looking at your materials as well, Chris, you talk about press kits or media kits, and you talk about these a little bit differently than what I know of in the sort of traditional way. It seems like you got a new method with this. So, and you say that it's not just for the press anymore, which I like a lot. Can you explain that?
Well, first of all, to be fair, David Meerman Scott actually introduced me to this concept. Well, as an author, I haven't met the man.
Oh, I'm a fan too, Chris. Yeah, I like his work.
Let me grab it so I can tell you the right title. Yeah, his book is The New Rules of Marketing and PR. And so he talks about how with all of the changes in technology and all of the changes in the media, it's sort of changing the rules. So a press kit or a media kit, and the terms are more or less interchangeable. In the old days, they were created just for the press, and they were never to be seen by the general public. But, you know, all those rules have changed because now there's, you know, far more access than ever before, far more opportunities for you to express yourself or share things. So, and so the way I explain it to my students is that you're actually creating your press materials for 5 different audiences or 5 different kinds of people. And so those 5 include like the general mass media. So that, of course, is who you would expect. Then niche media. And of course, with all of the changes in the media, you now, you know, there's ever smaller opportunities to reach more focused, targeted audiences than you could do in the past. And then the third category would be booksellers and librarians. who are trying to, you know, they're making choices about what they're going to carry. Mm-hmm. And you can create materials that will help them choose you. And then the fourth person would be an event planner. So say you want to be a speaker at a conference, or they're looking for a speaker at a conference, or they're looking for somebody to be at their, your audience, a lot of your audience are in small business. So they're going to be going to some, you know, events, live events. Well, a person who's planning an event of that kind may be looking for somebody to speak or to present or do something. Well, these materials will help facilitate that. And then the last one would be, and this would be just for readers, although I guess, well, okay, I say readers, but I guess to your audience, it would also include just customers. So the general public may end up coming to your site looking for, you know, they've heard of you for some reason or another, or they've heard of you because you were interviewed somewhere. You're still a stranger to them, so they visit your website. These materials help them understand quickly who you are, what you have to offer, and what you're about.
Right. And that goes right to what you were saying about social proof, right?
Yes, exactly.
And I love just the idea of it's not just mass media, whether that's David or you, you know, the niche part of it is actually really harnessing the power of the sort of network effects and just the power of the internet in general is that,
right,
you know, you can actually, you know, go to a very particular audience and try to serve them directly. So that's cool. So you're sort of dividing this up into different audiences, five in particular. And so you're thinking of sort of creating content, it sounds like, that's very sort of customized for each.
Well, you create it with all five in mind. So yes, there are certain parts of, say, your press kit that may be more for the event planner or more for the bookseller. But essentially, you want to create a comprehensive package that any of these five people who show up, they're just going to find what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be good to as we're talking about the difference between general mass media versus niche media, I think a lot of people think that the gold at the end of the rainbow is being on like a morning show on a network, mm-hmm, because there's a huge audience, but they don't think about how you're only there for 4 minutes and the audience is doing something else while you're on TV. They're doing, you know, getting breakfast, or they're dressing, or they're grabbing their keys to go out the door. And so it's actually more say the Today Show, it's more valuable to have been on the Today Show than to actually be on it, because you're not going to connect with a lot of people during that 4 minutes. But, you know, a month later, when you say, I was on the Today Show, that's more helpful. That's your social proof. But in terms of the audience, if you're interviewed by a podcast, those people are engaged. Those people are listening. If it is a podcast that is dedicated to what you do and the category that you're an expert in, those people are actually listening and are more likely, you know, it's a smaller audience, but a way higher percentage is more likely to seek you out.
Right, right.
And find out more about you.
I love that. That's a great concept. Now, speaking of that, that sort of channel marketing, or the, you know, the sort of getting on the big show, or even, you know, medium or small shows, doesn't have to be the Today Show. But, you know, in the past, my impression was always that you needed to hire a publicist or a PR person if you wanted to do channel marketing. So from what you're saying, that seems to have changed now. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, I'm not anti-publicist. I'm not anti-PR person. So the way I put it, you may choose to hire a publicist in the same way that if you're going to, you know, go on a hike, you may hire a Sherpa. You don't have to, but you may choose to, because it'll, you know, make it easier or faster. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we're talking about, you know, old media versus how it is today, it used to be you needed one, because the media used to be like a castle, and it was, you know, the media was owned by a few people who were powerful because they owned the printing press, or they owned the broadcast tower, or whatever. And so the publicist was the person that could help you get past the, you know, the knights at the door, or however you want to continue the analogy. But, you know, you needed the publicist to help you figure out how to cross the moat and get inside the castle and talk to the right people. That's all changed. That's all different now. Today, because of the internet, because of digital media, because of, you know, print on demand publishing, all of the tools that are available to us now, mm-hmm, there are far more access points now than there have ever been. There's far more opportunity, far more access than there has ever been to get publicity. And so, sure, you may still, you know, want a publicist to coach you or help you navigate that, but the fact is you don't need that publicist. And so I think that's a very empowering message for a small business person or an author who, you know, they're nervous about hiring somebody, or they just can't afford it, or, you know, but the fact is they don't need that person. They can start doing publicity all by themselves.
I love that too. That's great. I mean, I talk about that a lot too, just saying, hey, look, the gatekeeper, in whatever form that the gatekeeper shows up in, they're just not necessary anymore. It doesn't mean that they're not valuable, but just not necessary. You can walk right past the gatekeeper. I say that all the time. Don't ask for permission. And of course, you know, got to give credit to Seth Godin in that regard. I mean, just, you know, you can reach people. So it's just really cool to hear that that publicity is sort of the same thing now. That's really enlightening. Now, that sort of leads me to the next question, which is around story, because I would imagine that this is similar to anything in content marketing. And I talk about story a lot, you know, creating a narrative for your brand or your business. So can you talk about how and why story is important in the publicity arena as well?
Yes. In publicity, when you pitch yourself to that podcaster or that reporter or columnist or whoever that person is, it's important that you don't pitch yourself or pitch that you have a book or that you have a product or a service, because, you know, nobody cares. If you're trying to sell just your thing you have to sell, then they're going to say, well, then buy an ad. So what you have to pitch is a story, because you have to think about their number one goal as a podcaster or broadcaster or whomever is to keep that audience engaged. You know, they've built trust with that audience, and so they want them to keep listening or keep watching or keep reading. And so your job is to come to them and say, I have a story idea that will keep your audience engaged. I have something to say or something to share that your audience will want to listen to or read or whatever. And so that's sort of how you frame your pitch. So it's never about yourself. It's about this topic. And you are the expert in this topic. That's why you would be presenting it or be interviewed on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just so happens that, oh, well, why are you the expert? Well, you wrote the book, or you have this product, or you have this service. So the thing you're selling, so yes, you know, cards on the table, yes, you do hope to sell your thing, but it has to be an afterthought, because you are proving to these people that you know what you're talking about.
Right. I mean, I always present that as sort of, you know, you got to provide value up front. Those are the rules now, right? Like you said, nobody cares if you just show up and say, hey, here's what I do. You got to give them a reason. So that's cool. Yeah, that's cool that's, you know, very similar or really the same as content marketing. So
exactly.
Now, you know, speaking of content marketing, obviously I talk a lot about that on this podcast as a part of a content strategy. So I know that you have sort of a particular method of publicity. How does your method blend together with content marketing? Like, how do you see them sort of working together?
Yeah, they're very similar. It's just that to me, the distinction is the content marketing is you are the media, you are the podcaster, you are the blogger, you are, you know, you have a magazine or a newspaper or whatever it is. Because as we talked about, you know, the media is so much easier. There's so much more. The tools are available for you to be the media. Well, that's content marketing. So then publicity is they are the media. And so you're creating similar kinds of materials. It's just that content marketing is you're creating the materials for your audience in your space. Publicity is you creating material for an audience who doesn't know you or has never heard of you, so that they will come to learn about you, and you're hoping they will come to your space then, so that then the content marketing sort of closes the deal.
Now, suppose, you know, the folks who are my listeners, suppose they feel pretty confident about doing their own content marketing, or they're doing it, feel pretty good about it. Like you said before, sometimes you might still want to hire a publicist, So do you have any tips for identifying a good one?
Well, I would start out by saying, you know, you want to make sure it's a good one because that they're worth the expense.
Right.
So there are a lot of people who, you know, because in my life before DIY author, I mean, I have been the media for 30 years. So I was the editor being pitched. I was the broadcaster being pitched. And so I've seen a lot of really bad pitches, and some of them were from professional publicists. So just because they say they're a publicist or just because they have a list doesn't mean that they're good at it or necessarily that they're a good fit for you. So if you really want to look into having a publicist working for you, I would start with, you know, do they have a list? But don't be mesmerized by whether they have a list. It's more important that you see examples of their work. And the two, and I mean that in two ways. You want to see clippings of their clients in the media. So you want to see that that's happened, but because that's been created by the media, probably, you also want to see examples of materials that they have created. You want to know that they're going to create materials that are appropriate to your message and what you stand for. You know, that they're going to do a good job of sharing your story, because if their idea of doing, say, a press release is just, this exists, this guy exists, here's this thing, look at this thing, well, that's a terrible press release. And I've seen lots of those. That's not going to get you anywhere. So you want to make sure that if you're talking to a publicist, that they are also thinking about the kinds of things, the exact stuff that we're talking about. That publicist needs to also understand a lot of these concepts.
Right, right, right.
To do a good job.
Now, let's get back to sort of the DIY thing without a publicist. And, you know, the book that you have forthcoming, which is called 7 Ways to Get Media Coverage Without Hiring a Marketing Team. Is that right?
Actually, the full title is Publicity for Authors, 7 Steps to Get Media Coverage Without Hiring a Marketing Team.
Oh, cool. Very good. All right. So can you sort of go over the 7 steps? You give sort of 7 key steps here. Can you do sort of a quick overview of your rubric?
Sure. The 7 steps in a nutshell are get your press kit in order is number one. And that is, you have the publicity materials on your website that explain who you are, that explain your product, and that explain why you are an expert in your category or space, or why, you know, why you're the go-to person in your space. Then the second step would be to make your contact list. You don't just, you know, publicity is not throwing a rock through a window. It is, you find the right person, you find the right people. So you need to, when you make your contact list, think of who are the audiences that would be interested in what you have to offer, and then who speaks to that audience? Who are the podcasters talking to that audience? Who's right. The TV shows or the radio shows or whatever? Their audience needs to be your audience to be worth your time. And then the third step is to tell a story. So as you're putting your pitch together, and I do also make the distinction in the book and in my teaching that a press release is a thing that sits on your website as sort of backup material. The thing you actually send to the media is a pitch, and that is a specific message to a specific person. And so you're going to say to, you know, once you've made your list, you're going to go to a specific person on your list and say, hello, specific person by name at specific outlet. This is a specific story idea that I have that will be of interest to your specific audience. Hmm. And so step number three is that that is a story that you are telling that audience will be interested in. And then step four goes right into that, tailor your pitch. So again, specific person, specific audience, you need them to understand that you have listened to that podcast before. You have read that magazine. You know what they do, and you are pitching something that fits into what they do. You are helping them. You're not asking for a favor. You're offering a favor.
Right, right, right.
And then step five is to share the right information. It's tempting sometimes to sort of, you know, if you're going to send a package in the mail or you send an email, it's tempting to just, you know, overload it with, you know, send as much information as possible. That's bad. You want it to be focused on what's important to your pitch. And then the reason you want your press kit on your website is that your pitch, especially in an email, you don't include attachments because that leads to all sorts of trouble. You have a link. You say, if you want a photo, follow this link. If you want a biography, if you want a press release, you know, follow this link.
Very smart. Very smart.
And then step number six is to follow up over time. So you don't pester them, but you are allowed to go back once or twice to get a sense of whether they receive the information, but you let them choose whether you're right for their audience. But then follow up over time is you don't just have one thing to talk about. You need to have something new to talk about every couple of months. So if this pitch doesn't work, then 2 months later, you go back with a completely different pitch. So you're not pestering them. You are initiating a new conversation. And so somebody that maybe you fell through the cracks and they liked you, but you fell through the cracks, they'll be glad to hear from you again. But more importantly, if you go back to somebody who just passed on you because they weren't interested, this new conversation, they're not pestered by that. This is another opportunity for them to say, oh, wait a second, this I like, or this is interesting, or now I get why you're a good fit for my audience. And then step number seven is to plan for the future. And so it really goes back to what we said earlier. It's less important that you are on the Today Show than to be able to say, I was on the Today Show. So you are building up a portfolio of appearances that have happened. So that because every time you're on a podcast, every time you're in a newspaper, every time you're in a newsletter, that makes you that much more attractive to the next media that you talk to.
Right.
Because you're building, you know, social proof. You're building these endorsements. You've been vetted by professional media people. And so that makes you more attractive. So this is why you don't put all of your energy into get on the Today Show. Go to those niche podcasts. Go to those niche newsletters because you're not thinking, oh, I'm doing it for this month and I'm done. It's like, if this is a career for you, then you need to think long term and think of pace yourself so you don't burn out. It's not, I have to send out, you know, six press releases this month. It's, oh, I'm doing it over the course of a year.
Right. Chris, what's amazing to me just in listening to you, I mean, this is so fascinating, but these things, content marketing and publicity, at least the way that you view it, are very, very similar. I mean, you're talking about many of the same things or the same approaches to content, and it's the strategy around it. I mean, it's just fascinating to me. So, any other tips that you might like to offer to the audience?
I think just to reiterate, don't put all your energy, you know, waste a lot of time or a lot of money into trying to get a giant get. Go after small gets. Go after local media. Go after niche media so that you can start building up that portfolio over time so that when you get to that larger, you know, that middle-sized media or that larger media, you've had more practice.
Right.
Polished. Mm-hmm. And also you make a better presentation. They are, you know, they're not, it doesn't disqualify you from being interviewed that you've already been interviewed. It makes them think, oh, here's somebody who knows how to do this. And they will trust you more because you've been vetted by somebody else.
Yeah, makes perfect sense, Chris. That's awesome.
And then I think the other thing is, which you had said, you know, offer value. It's don't ask for a favor. It's offer a favor. I am offering something that will be of interest to your audience. I am helping you keep your audience engaged. I am helping, you know, I am helping you to keep them listening or viewing or reading. And as long as you present it as you are helping them, they are way more likely to be interested in working with you on that.
No, that's right. Well, it's just incredibly helpful, Chris. And I know you got a ton more information. You got a book coming out on this. So if my listeners want to learn more about you, check out your book, or just find some help on this, where can they find you?
Well, the main website is DIYauthor.com. And so, you know, they can find articles on these topics. They can find links to other related information. But I would also say I have a free checklist for anyone that wants to start working on a press kit.
Oh, cool.
And although it is it is created for authors. I mean, anyone who wants a press kit, these are all of these pieces are necessary. And so if they went to diyauthor.com/checklist, they can get a free checklist there to get started.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And you know what? Don't worry, I'll put those in the show notes and some other links to Chris's work too. And you can find that either in the show notes or just navigate to this episode through the main page at controlmouse.media. And of course, if you got any questions for Chris or for me, please leave them in the comment section for this episode. I promise I read every one and I love hearing from you guys. So thank you all for listening. Really appreciate it. And Chris, special thanks to you for your perspective. This has been great.
Thank you very much, Michael. I'm thrilled that you had me on the show.
Me too, Chris. Thank you very much. And to everyone else, we'll see you on the next episode.